Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky drink the natural wines from Old World Winery in California. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here, Rob. How are you this evening?
I am just fantastic because I am joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
That's the reason for your fantasticism.
It is.
That's almost like what she told you to say. That wasn't quite it.
Not this time.
To be transparent. This is our second taping of the beginning.
It's not my fault. It's technical difficulties.
It was technical difficulties.
Yes.
But who gave you that line?
Bo. On tonight's show, folks, we are foraying into natural wine, as you heard on the open. A while back, we had been approached to listen to or view a another documentary, similar to the Portugal one we did. Same people reached out to us. But this time it was about natural wine. It was called Living Wine was the show. And we'll talk about the show in general on the Potpourri tonight. But it showcased several wineries. And one of those wineries was Old World Winery. And we were then offered samples from that winery. So they mailed us a couple different wines to try. Actually, they sent us four bottles, but two and two. Apparently, they thought we were very, very thirsty, which is possible.
We usually are.
And
not wrong.
So to be transparent,
yes,
this is a bottle that was provided for us to review.
Well, two bottles, actually. The wines that we're drinking tonight, the first is an aged man of war from their cellar selection. I mean, and it's very aged, but it's their 2009... Yes, 2009 Mount Bench Vineyard Merlot from Dry Creek Valley. And it comes in at $40 of your American money. And the second one is one of their new releases, and it's their Impulse Red Wine. It's a North Coast wine. And it is, I believe, Merlot, Petite Syrah, and the very commonly blent Chardonnay. Commonly blent in the fact that you'd think of it in France. Sometimes they'll throw a little Viognier in with Syrah for an Hermitage or something like that. Same difference, a little twinkle. Both of these wines, though, use natural processes. So you're not going to see any pesticides. You're not going to see any, you know, fertilizers that aren't like compost. They make compost, and that's how they fertilize everything. And they're foot stomped. And even says that on the Impulse's bottle. These are foot stomped. So you're not going to see mechanical presses. You're not going to see anything that is, and that's where the name comes from, because you're probably thinking, well, they're in California, that's New World, and it's called Old World Winery. Well, they're using Old World techniques.
And they've got some 100-year-old vines.
They do. They do.
And ancient.
Ancient. It is ancient, just like the Merlot.
So you said that they blended Chardonnay in it?
Yeah.
In
the Impulse. The Merlot is 100% Merlot.
But it's a red wine.
It is a red wine. Well, it's just like 5%.
Why would you do that?
For a twinkle.
It's done.
Aren't you listening?
It's done. And it's a routine practice in specific regions of France.
Yeah. Yeah. Viognier is normally the wine there. Mm-hmm. But they have Chardonnay. So I said, yeehaw.
I've listened to this speech twice. So forgive me.
Well, why'd you ask? If you knew, you don't pay attention. There will be a quiz.
I'm not doing it.
I'm
going to go to bed.
So, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you need more Wine Vault in your life? Well, if you do, check out our website, thewinevault.org. On there, we have our full catalog of episodes. We also have B-sides, some outtakes. Hell, we even write articles from time to time. So if you need that extra fix to tide you over until the next Sunday, check out thewinevault.org, and we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, Old World Winery. Why I can't say that, I don't know. Now, I didn't mention the Impulse's price, and it's $35 of your money. So, the first wine, though, between the two that we're going to start with is the Merlot. Why? Because it's very old. Probably older than a wine should be and consumed by humans. It is still sold.
Stop it.
It is very old, Scott. It's like you. That's why you're sensitive. You're age sensitive.
No, you are not giving this wine, nor the winery, a chance. And that disturbs me.
Really? Yes. You know what disturbs me? What this looks like. I had a fit with... So, I had to use coffee filters and everything.
No, you didn't use coffee filters.
Yeah, I did.
Remember,
the cork disintegrated.
Well, there's that.
I knew something was up because we have a coffee pour-over thing.
Yep. Yeah.
And there was wine at the bottom of the pour-over thing.
However,
that was a clever idea.
Well, I did it before with Pone Canet.
Oh, you've done it before.
And it worked very well. Yeah, so,
but it's very clever.
You know, a cork disintegrating...
As much as I hate to give you credit.
No, it's not a good sign.
But was it moist at all? The cork?
It was once it fell in the wine. Yeah, I pushed it down. It never came out. I just pushed it down.
Gotcha. So
you could look in there and take a look.
The seal might have been okay.
Since
you had to push it down.
Oh yeah.
Likely the seal was okay.
I think the seal was all right. Yeah. So I mean,
are you gonna get sick?
I always felt his marriage to Heidi Klum was a little bit unique, but
is that where you're headed?
That is not where I'm headed. I'm trying to
assure
our listeners.
Wanting to make sure we're not getting sick.
No, I wanted to make sure that the wine's going to be okay.
Drink it first.
That the seal of the cork was intact.
Mm-hmm.
That's something.
He said the cork disintegrated. The truth is, he could not get it open, so he had to push it down in because maybe there's a lack of competence on his part.
It crumbled.
I will say he drinks so much wine.
Thank you. Yes, I'm an expert on removing
corks. Maybe you could let her finish her thought. He drinks so much wine, she started to say, and then you...
Drink so much wine solo.
I have to.
So really, you can't verify his uncorking abilities.
Correct.
You see all these bottles that are lying on here? Hundreds? Guess who opened every single one of those? I did.
Guess who needs to carry them to the trash? Rob Dart.
No, those are keepsakes. Yes.
Back to the wine.
Will we be adding another wine bottle to the keepsakes? Who knows?
So, Rob's mocking the texture and the look.
I'm concerned with the fact it's cloudy. Although, the fact it's cloudy, you pointed out, Scott, that they don't use filtering techniques. So, and they don't even wash their hands. So, it's okay.
There are numerous quotes from Mr. Trowbridge that he's really unconcerned how it looks.
Yes.
And some people would say this is not an attractive product.
No.
But it's not the point of it to be...
Attractive?
Pasteurized or manipulated. And in fact, I think it's my take, based on the documentary and what I've read about Mr. Trowbridge, it's his point to make it, maybe unappealing is the right word, but it's just au naturel.
Au naturel, yes. I'm au naturel too. Oh my gosh. But when I do that, Scott, guess what happens to me?
You go to jail?
That's correct, Scott. Mm. So, I wonder what this will be like. So, here we go.
What
else is new?
On the nose.
Which one are we drinking?
The Merlot.
The left one?
The Merlot.
The
Why? Hold on.
This is the Merlot.
The reason why I'm so confused is because I have different glasses than you.
No. These are my glasses. Those are your glasses. They're the exact same. That's not the Merlot glass, Scott.
That's the one that's on the left.
This is Impulse in the New World Syrah glass. This is the
Mine
Merlot.
Are opposite.
Yeah, mine are opposite too.
Don't you know? This is a Merlot glass. Does everybody at the table
know?
Well,
I know, but you kept saying the left one. That's why I was so confused.
Yeah, I grabbed the left-hand glass
too.
Use your Sesame Street skills,
Rob,
and match your glass to my glass.
That's why I said, why do you have different glasses than me? That's why I asked that question.
You did.
The same.
Did.
You had mine flipped. You kept saying left and right.
Mr. Turner just said...
It's a diabolical plan of mine.
Well, I'm not the idiot here.
Correct.
Okay.
Scott and I were both going to drink the wrong thing.
Well, we were going to drink the left thing.
Don't you know what the Merlot... I thought I put the Merlot in the Merlot glass.
From where I'm sitting, I thought both of your glasses were the same size, and you had given me different wine glasses.
Oh, no, I didn't do that.
Right. You just placed them on
Frankenstein is in the Frankenstein glass. This is the Merlot.
When are we talking about the documentary? During potpourri?
Yes.
Okay.
Assuming we all live that long.
Did you enjoy the documentary?
Yeah.
We really haven't talked about this much, and it's been a while.
Well, we will. Let's hold that off. We want to keep them.
Hold this off while we drink our last.
We want to keep them waiting. That's the catch.
We want them to keep listening. What are we drinking first? The Merlot.
The Merlot.
Okay, I'm so confused.
Merlot.
Obviously,
it's the thing that looks like a red cloud
on the nose.
On the nose.
There's some cedar in there.
Cedar. Cranberry.
So my first impression is, it is a nose of a California Merlot. It's rather fruity. Not unexpected nose.
Not unexpected?
Not unexpected by me. In terms of what we've had before in California Merlots, they tend to be a fruitier nose, and that's what this is. I wouldn't call it jammy, but it's headed that way. Mm-hmm. But you're right. There's a hint of cedar there.
It has more depth to it than what I envisioned. Also, I feel like we've talked about this a lot. Merlot is not my favorite wine, so
true.
Disclaimer.
I think this is a perfectly wonderful nose.
Good. You can drink it first.
What do you think of this nose, Mr. Dern?
I think there are elements of cedar, cranberry. It smells aged because there's a little bit of a caramel nuance to it. 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, that's old.
Rob has suggested as soon as we saw this on the website that he felt that that was too long to go with a California Merlot.
From them. Or really anybody.
I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Good. I you know what?
I've
I will take
two
that.
Drinks.
Oh, good.
Sips.
Your eye is drooping.
It has.
It's old. It's still drinkable, but it's old.
Do you want to elaborate?
Yes, I will. First of all, what?
Go ahead.
No. What are the parameters?
I have questions.
Go. Okay. Heavy cranberry and prune, and very light in body. It almost.
So loud.
How did he get that? I hid it from him. It almost. It has a borderline Sangiovese feel. There's also some vegetal tomato elements that don't belong. This is way past its prime. It should have been probably drank up 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years ago. It's not going to make you sick, but it shouldn't be sold. It shouldn't be selling this anymore.
To be fair, they didn't sell it to us.
That's true. They gave it away, but it is for sale.
It's still, this vintage is still for sale.
Yeah, it's not good enough to.
I
don't taste anything there also that, I mean, you're trying to think back. $40, the reason why they have to charge that is because of they have higher overhead. But this wasn't a $40 wine at any given point
in
its life.
Well, I think that's speculation.
I think that's
because it is past. Now,
but it's a speculation.
There's still some things that could be a redeemable quality. The problem is it's just become almost lean.
That's the age, yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I think that, and the tannic structure is
no longer. I got a hit of it right to the back of my throat, and it's about done me in. I know. It really has.
That's a sign of enjoyment right there.
That was the cheese.
Oh, is it? You're just trying to choke yourself out so you don't have to. I understand. I understand that you made a bunch and you didn't sell it and you still have it there so you don't know what to do with it. But you can't sell it because it could. People that would buy this, if they bought. I mean, it isn't a review of their wines currently. This is so far ago. Who even knows what they were doing that long ago, right? I mean, if they consider this just, they have this because of a legacy. This isn't even the kind of labels they do anymore. If they just have this because this is just historic to them, that's fine. I mean, a lot of places do that. A lot of places in Bordeaux do that. But that's, you know, those wines last. Not to be mean, because honestly, I think the Impulse actually looks like a nice fresh wine. And I think it probably might be kind of fun. But it's just like, yeah, I mean, you gotta, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you had to find a way to sell it. And if that meant selling it at $10 and selling it to maybe a Trader Joe's if you had 500 cases or something like that, just to get it out of there. So it was consumed.
Wait a second. Hit it again.
What do you I mainline it, or you want me to drink it? Okay.
Yes. Take another pull. Don't suck any air on it. Just hit a pull of it.
Okay. Cranberry, a little bit of leather. I mean, that's a lot.
I don't think
more,
it's as spent.
It's
right. It's not as spent.
For sure, it's spent. I think. Get past that first pull on it. I don't think it's as spent as our first pull dictated to us.
I think that's fair.
I'm getting a little more of that leather. That's actually nice. What it's telltale for me that it's spent. There's no real finish to the wine, and that it's, you know, the backside of it, the tannics. Base is non-existent. Yes, there's probably still some tannins in there, but not much.
It's, you know, cranberry, a little bit of leather, but it's very, all the flavors come across as very stewy. You know, and therein lies the agedness to it. The look of the wine, I mean, we've talked about this or that, oh, they don't try to make things look clear. The Impulse looks clear.
I mean,
the Impulse looks like a deep red wine that you'd buy any place. This looks like this. It's cloudy and whatnot because of its age, because it's not quite vinegar yet. It's not there, but in another year it will be. Another year it's going to turn brown and separate a little bit. That's fine. Like I said, I think that you probably... You might have, I don't know what it would have been when it was, you know, newer or fresher, but you need to get that out of your warehouses and get it out. You know what I mean?
Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is like a non-preservative, non-blah, blah, blah wine.
Yeah.
Do you think that if they had had it, I understand that movement. I think that it would have been nice to have this in the wine. We could have still enjoyed it now. Because when we're talking about the elements of this wine, leather, cedar, what else do we say? Cranberry. Like, leather, that's a more advanced, higher-end flavor profile. Let me finish. The wine does taste spent. It does taste stewy. I understand that.
Yeah.
I kind of regret that they didn't use more preservatives or use more of that to... Because the things that we're saying would lead me to believe that this was a good Merlot.
Look, what I was going to say is, I don't think that any $40 Merlot would be strutting its stuff this old.
Yeah, 13, 14 years later.
The only way you're going to do that, you're going to do Bordeaux, stuff like that. You're really cream of the crop stuff. And this probably was sitting, you know, cork up in some warehouse and... yeah. So I don't know. $40 or I don't.
But don't you agree the things that we found in this wine are higher end flavor profiles?
There's something to be said for the fact that there are a couple nuances there. Well, the leather is what I would say. That like and it's not. Oh, this is washed out, and there it is. It's a piece of crap leather. There was actually some rawhide back in there years ago, and it's expressing it now. This might have been an interesting wine 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Rawhide. 8 years ago.
Something that might never have ceases to amaze me about Merlot is mm-hmm. this is not as dark as the other wine, but it's pretty dark. But it is always a leaner red, and it surprises me so much. You would just expect it to be so much lighter.
Yeah.
Because of the leanness. I mean, that's Merlot in general, not mm-hmm. just this one.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the Merlot. We're going to move directly on to the Impulse, though.
Here's my first question before sure. we go any further.
Mm.
Who was the Impulse made by?
Same company.
Same. So, in the movie...
Hold on.
In the movie, he was the guy with kind of the curly hair. Hold on.
That's not where I'm going.
Okay.
What does the label look like?
It looks like it's a comet or something like that in space.
It's black and white. What does the other one look like?
The other one? No, yeah, obviously.
It's the weirdest label I've ever seen. It looks like something that I made on my computer with like...
I wasn't going to say that.
It looks like the centerpiece
in the Hunger Games in the second film.
It looks like when you are learning how to make address labels, but they made a wine label instead of an address label.
Which would the Impulse or this?
That one, whatever we just drank, the Merlot. Impulse one's totally fine.
It's glossy.
The Impulse one's normal.
Yeah, they used to have, it's a little more modern. They used to have just kind of this is 2009, but that was antiquated in 2009.
That's so weird. That's the circle center thing in the Hunger Games.
I mean, even the quality of it. Did you see it?
It's glossy. It's glossy.
It's old.
It's not great, but, you know, I didn't want to kick him while they were down.
No, but I just, it's.
But you did.
I think I'm not kicking them. It's worth noting that we're drinking wines from the same winery with a totally different label and a totally different bottle shape.
Yeah, they've rebranded themselves in the last, yeah.
I'm totally. 12 years.
Still, the Impulse, an interesting wine, looking wine. And it's the Merlot, Petit Sirah, and Chardonnay. In the glass, it looks dark. It looks proper. It doesn't look bad at all.
Kind of a... Garnet.
A little bit of garnet.
Garnet. Garnet, darn it.
The nose, berry, a little bit of leather. Maybe even a little cassis back in there.
Something maybe even a little stronger than leather there, the mm-hmm. earthiness.
What did you say?
Leather, little cassis.
I'm going to go vulcanized rubber.
There is a little bit of a leather. Tarish, not quite tar, but somewhere in that range. Yeah. You know, yeah, asphalt, yeah.
To me, there's a really earthy element, like almost barnyardy earthy element in there.
It has something there. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, let me read what they talked about on there.
Oops. Like, a really dense nose.
Mm-hmm. And this is really the wine in which we would judge the...
What year is it?
2020.
Okay.
Judge the winery on. And they said lighter structure with notes of rose, mushroom, cherry, and hibiscus. It's a very...
Mushroom, that's interesting. Great. I don't know that I would have said that.
I think it's well beyond mushroom, mm-hmm. and it's stronger, it's more pungent.
It smells like a horse stall.
Pungent's harsh, but it's towards that, but I get like almost, and vulcanized rubber's not right either. It's like
the horse stall, actually.
Minerality.
Doesn't it?
But it's
a little barnyardy. I like it. It says great spaghetti wine, though.
I believe it.
You can put a lot of different things on spaghetti.
On spaghetti or to drink with spaghetti?
I think they meant to drink spaghetti.
Okay. All right, let's taste it.
Their spaghetti probably is fucked up, but that's okay. I like the nose, for what that's worth.
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. That metallic-y hair setting. Hair salon, like setting your hair.
Oh, like with a perm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See.
Cyclolic something. I just watched Legally Blonde. They talk about it.
They talk about it in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tasted it. First of all, the Chardonnay is noticeable.
It is. I thought that exact same thing. I'm going to wait a minute because the Chardonnay is noticeable. It's not a good thing. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
If this wine weren't red, if it was a rosé,
tastes of that.
That would change your thoughts, wouldn't it?
Well, you know how much he loves rosé, so he's...
No, but if take a drink and pretend like you're drinking a rosé.
I don't have to pretend.
No, I think it's really interesting how the Chardonnay pops out there.
It's what they say it is. It looks different and it smells different than what it tastes.
What's the predominant grape? I know you said
but Merlot, but and Petit Sirah, but
how much of the Chardonnay was in there?
Doesn't have percentages.
You decided interesting. It was five.
I was hoping it was five.
No, it tastes like a Chardonnay.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think it can be a substantial amount of the wine in that. It's just so dark. Too dark. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you've got the Petit Sirah.
Guess what, though, Scott?
I like it.
Guess what? Mm. You could put Chardonnay in a vat with red grape skins and make it red.
That's true.
Red grapes, when they're crushed, don't have any pigment. Mm-hmm. It's the skins on the wine that darken it. So it could be 35% Chardonnay and not be a rosé. That's the point. You're not leaving the skins on very long in a rosé. Ergo, you get a lighter wine.
I think about it as a rosé when you drink it.
I tell you what, I love that pop where the Chardonnay pops through.
I mean,
I love it.
This slightly chilled. I think there's people that would like it.
Yeah, I think chilled.
I think I'm one of them.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would.
I like the different. I like how you're drinking red wine, and then, Chardonnay comes out and says, hi, I'm here.
And to be fair, the Chardonnay...
Gives you a little kiss.
It's the acidity of a Chardonnay. It's the...
Yeah. Because they're not using malolactic fermentation.
It's what else is it from the Chardonnay that's the lemon that's coming out of a Chardonnay? What else is it?
Yeah, out of their Chardonnay, yeah, because there's a little, yeah.
You know what?
I mean, I'm just to describe it to the listeners. What else is it?
The Chardonnay, it doesn't just give you a kiss. It kind of puts its hand around on your backside and sticks it in your pocket. It takes a little squeeze. This Chardonnay is present, and I like it in this wine.
So wait a minute. The Chardonnay is basically like me? What?
What are the other flavors of the Chardonnay that you can... I taste lemon, the acidity, and I feel like there is something else. I just don't know what it is.
There's a little bit of an apple element, too, but that's not Chardonnay.
Well, and that acidity could be from the Chardonnay. It could be from just the grapes in general. It could be
from Merlot, yeah.
It really could be.
Petit Sirah, probably not, but Merlots can be acidic. There's not very much Petit Sirah. But the Petit Sirah is counterbalancing everything to give it darkness.
And maybe that's it. Maybe that's what the Petit Sirah does. It gives it. And the body. This is a...
Lighter.
I was going to say medium towards full body.
Stop. It's lighter.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, even the winery says it's lighter body. It's not full body. It's not even anywhere close to that. I mean...
And they do describe this as the most generic... Red wine North Coast. I mean, that is like very, very vague.
Yeah. They say lighter structure with notes of rose, mushroom, cherry, and hibiscus. It does have cherry. There's not a lot of floral elements to it.
Yeah, floral I didn't get.
No.
Well, I mean, there's maybe.
Greenery. I mean, pasture, grassy notes.
Yep. Which leaves, are likely dried leaves. From the Chardonnay also.
No. I don't think
not
so.
Not from Petit Sirah and Merlot.
It's from this Petit Sirah and Merlot. Mm. We're talking about something a little bit different here. We're not talking about Paloma's Merlot. We're talking about their Merlot. And this doesn't taste... If you tasted this, you'd say, oh, okay. I'm not trying to be mean here, but this tastes like a Chambord from Ohio or...
Oh.
That's not, I'm not trying to be, that's the structure here. It has almost a slight smoky element to it. It's a little, it's more complex than those typically are, but there are some good Chambords that are out there, and this is what that tastes like.
I'll tell you what gives this
a... That is what this tastes like.
More of a body feel. It's that...
Nothing?
Mid-palate, just before the finish, there's a denseness about it there.
Mm.
I really enjoy this one.
This is as dense as a negligee.
Well, you're as dense as a negligee.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. You can like it, but you can't give it, characteristics it don't have. I mean, it's not a dense wine. It's not intended to be a dense wine. It's intended to be some sort of hybrid, and that's why it's even called just an impulse. It's just something that they have mixed up.
On an impulse.
It is an oddity. It's something that, would I drink it? No, but that's okay. It's more of a summertime wine. I could see this as a red deck wine, slightly chilled. It would be nice.
Deck wine.
Deck wine. Yeah.
Okay. A deck wine.
The front palate.
Deck wine, yeah.
The front palate has the acidity. And then it builds, kind of crescendos. And then at the mid palate, just before the finish starts, just before you get into that pop of Chardonnay, it has a certain texture about it. And it kind of thickens on your tongue. And then that Chardonnay pops through that and says, hello, I'm here. That's where, you know, it starts playing with your butt a little bit. And that, you know, normally that'd make me nervous, but in this wine, I kind of like it. I'm just saying.
I mean, if a greeter at Walmart started playing with your butt, you probably wouldn't like it. And that's kind of what I would say.
What would her name be?
Nah, it doesn't matter. It's a greeter at Walmart, and they're pretty old.
There could be some pretty nice people there at Walmart. No.
By the way, this is a drink now. Do not let this go for a year or two.
Or 12.
Christ, don't do that. La, la, la. I mean, just get your stuff. If you have to mark it down, you have to mark it down. But just don't hold on. I haven't sold it yet. I have to get my money. You can't.
Well,
and it detracts from other wines. Did you notice that have merit?
Did you notice that there aren't 2010 Merlots and there aren't?
Yeah, I know.
2011 Merlots.
Maybe they sold those.
2012.
He sold Merlots. All those. It was the 9 that he held back. No, he didn't make. And he also does the same thing with Pinot, Syrah. They were doing varietals, I think, there for a few years. And they didn't sell at all.
There were two of them that were from 2009, and it's just that's a long time.
Just, I mean, I don't want a person to throw things away, but if you did have an accidental fire in that warehouse, all those things are, you know, housed, and you had insurance on that building and for its contents.
It's probably inappropriate for you to talk about fire.
I'm just saying it's an accidental fire. It could be lightning. It could
really be inappropriate.
Gasoline in a can with a rag that you light. Always. I mean, you know, maybe you crash a truck into there when it's all. I don't know. Anything could happen. You know, vandals.
I'm
chipmunks. Whatever it takes, man.
I'm more of a fan of this than you are. Obviously.
Yes, you are more of a fan of this than I am.
Like this wine, playing with my buttocks.
You've just been lonely for a while.
Are you lonely tonight?
You know, just he's.
Are you lonely?
Hey, man, he's just looking for a huckleberry, is all he's looking for here. So, Jesus, man. Oh, wow. We have two bottles of. Okay. Anyway, so, folks, I see why he sent the Merlot. I'm surprised I didn't get a whole fucking case of it. Could have sent a thimble, bro. It's okay.
I'm really enjoying this blend.
It's different.
I think I never would have had it otherwise.
I know.
Market for this.
I think so too. No, I'm glad I tried it. I never would have ever tried it. I mean, it's got some sulfites. I can feel that in my ears, but I never would have tried it otherwise. Mm-hmm. You know, it's different, and it's. I think, like you said, yeah, there's somebody out here that would dig this in a way. And, you know, there's a way that you could enjoy it. I think slightly chilled, it would play, if you approach it like a rosé, I think that, and you thought of it in those terms, forgetting the way it looks and smells, it doesn't quite have the same freshness that a rosé might have.
I think that makes it
something positive about
easier
rosé.
To think about. It's just...
Because it's very dry. Very, very dry.
It's very dry, but yet it's got that pop of Chardonnay in it. And
it's still dry.
It has actually blown my mind. I love that pop of Chardonnay in here. I think I'm enjoying the Chardonnay in this red blend as much as any Chardonnay I've ever enjoyed. It's because it's interesting. It's because it's different. It's because you're having this dry red wine that's got some texture to it. And there's this pop of Chardonnay in there. And it just...
You're a very positive person.
No. I'm not.
You are.
I'm an asshole.
You're a positive person.
I love this Papa Chardonnay.
Well, good. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we're going to talk a little bit about the Living Wine movie that we watched.
Documentary.
Well, that too. It was a movie documentary. And
that's the style of the film that it is. It's a documentary.
Mm-hmm. Now, unlike the Portuguese thing, this was a more traditional documentary where there was a little bit of a nice delve into a little bit of the winemaking process and some of the winemakers' thoughts and approaches. It really did, I think, a good job in that regard. Not often will I be complimentary to anybody, but I thought that, like, let's just focus on the old world wine, how, because he was kind of, it seemed like he was more of the, had more to say, more to do in it. Hmm. for Trowbridge anyway. And he, whether or not you really like natural wines or like his wines in general, he did a good job of, and they did a good job of kind of highlighting his mentality, his approach. And it was kind of nice to see. It was interesting. He was a very earnest person. It's very straightforward.
I wrote that down.
Okay.
Well, so
I looked at your paper.
The other thing, look, face it. We're in. Everybody knows about the fires.
Oh,
in
yeah.
California, mm-hmm. And they took center stage in this movie.
Yeah.
But Mr. Trowbridge has I think it's patent pending, a process for developing a compost/mulch type application for use in agriculture. And it's, I think, a wonderful thing for sustainable dry winemaking processes. Keeps the and in the movie it shows his process. Now it doesn't get into how they sequester the mulch to build the fungi and the bacteria in the soil amendment that they make, but it's being used in ranches, it's being used in agriculture and in other wineries. And it's he started his own company, and I think it's brilliant. And it was one of my favorite parts about the film about him.
You like the poop making.
It's brilliant.
They also spend a lot of time talking about how winemaking is very expensive. A lot of people that are winemakers are very wealthy before they start making wine.
That was what I was going to point out.
These people were not.
Yeah, and they talked about how they didn't have any money. One of the ladies on there was on government assistance while she was trying to get her wine up and going. And I just thought that was... like they were obviously following a dream, and earnest was a word that came to mind. It was refreshing. And it was something that they are very passionate about and care a lot about. And I at no point did I feel like they were like persuading us, but they were just like informing. And I really thought that they struck a great balance of explaining. They weren't snobby, like nothing like that. They were just simply explaining their process and why they do things the way they do. And I just thought it was very, very refreshing. I loved
it. Well, and any time you're talking about the natural wine process, inevitably you're going to discuss a little bit of the environmental issues. Mm-hmm. But that really wasn't the focus.
It wasn't. Mm-mm.
But yeah, like what Becky said, and I really felt that was the most interesting thing about the show. They really emphasized that, hey, not all wineries are these big conglomerates where they can just write a blank check. They, I mean, Constellation is a different thing. Treasury is a different thing. There are independents out there that don't have money, that don't have a fortune before they start what they do. This is the way they're trying to earn their living and create their lives. And they live and die by the vintage.
Yeah.
One thing that you got from some of these winemakers on there was the fact that with the forest fires, whatnot, it could literally eliminate their... Yeah. They can't just rebuild. Right. I mean, they might get some insurance. They might get this and that. But if it took out their vines, this isn't Duckhorn where they can just say, yeah, okay, we'll just take care of that. Oh, we got insurance for that. Yeah, we'll fix that up. They don't have the kind of resources to just absorb loss after loss. That might be kind of why he held on to this Merlot. I think he, though, is probably one of the more successful ones in the group that they featured. The lady that was on government assistance, she was actually working the lands owned by somebody else and producing the wine off that. And it's just, she kind of had like a hybrid partnership with other people.
She had a couple things going on.
Yeah. And so whether or not she's ultimately successful, I don't know. We don't have any of her wines to taste. But
Megan Bell, Margins Wine.
Oh, that's
Margins.
Margins. Wine. Yeah. And it's not cheap. None of these are cheap because they don't have the processes in place to make them cheap.
And typically smaller vineyards are going to be more expensive.
Yeah, they're over.
One of the ways you reduce your overhead is by doing more volume. Well, it takes money to do more volume.
Yep.
So one of the more interesting characters to me in the film was Gideon Beinstock from Clos Saron.
Oh, yeah.
And there he's been making wine for more than 20 years. He had his own little deal there in Oregon House, California. He was just an interesting guy. And I remember the scene, one of my favorite scenes in the movie was when they were all jumping in that bin and just foot stomping the grapes. And then he took just a little taste of the grape and, you know, and he just the big smile on his face, you know. But I also remember Megan Bell. And she had a, you know, the other person that she was working with, and he kind of had a separate wine company. His name's not mentioned, but they were both.
He had asked her out, and she had a boyfriend, so he got to they talked about that.
They
in the show.
Friends years earlier.
Friend zone. He was in the friend zone. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that happened.
But she had made wines in many, many different companies, this opportunity to try and start her own vineyard, and it was her first year. And the wildfires were right there. I mean, literally, you're seeing the filming of the movie. They're processing the grapes. They're picking the grapes. And you see the smoke in the air.
Yeah.
And she worked, I think it was 45 days straight. She hadn't been home. She was staying at the winery. And she wasn't sure if her house was still going to be intact or not.
Yeah.
And you can't fake that. It's a fantastic movie, folks. Living
in it is an interesting thing. And it's one of those shows that if you like to really, you know, kind of face realism, you're talking about wine and it's a luxury item, right? Well, for some people it's not. It's the way that they make a living and live. And so being reminded of that occasionally is refreshing. Living wine is actually good.
You guys use the word earnest. I would use the word real. It was so real. The other thing that really struck me so sincerely about this is how much all these folks were helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Derek Trowbridge, Gideon was, they all had these interns and they were teaching them the craft as somebody had taught them the craft. But Megan Bell, she's the person, she's on government assistance. Here she was teaching somebody else how to make organic wine because they wanted to. This was a person likely more successful than she was, had more money than she did, but she was teaching him this techniques. And Derek Trowbridge, I loved his, again, that mulch concept or the composting concept. It's critical. I mean, it's if people are going to go back to this. And I think you're right, the sustainability and the reason for doing organic wines – it really was front and fore center. It's just they didn't beat you over the head with a baseball bat over it. It's kind of sold as you're already in on it and you understand it. But it really is important for us to get into organic and sustainable agriculture practices.
Well, some things you just don't want in your body, naturally.
Fact.
Now,
a word that you said at the beginning was sincere, and that's another word I would describe them all. They were very, very sincere. And it was no, like, arrogance, no, like, any of that piece missing. Or was there, all of that was, it was very, very,
it's
very
a movie
sincere.
That moved me.
Yeah. Same.
It really moved me. I wanted to know that these people were okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you really didn't know what happened until the end. The credits came up with what the outcome was for their season.
Yeah.
And some of them, it wasn't 100% okay. But everybody was okay. They didn't lose anybody. But it hit them hard. Where they grow their grapes. They were right in the middle of it that season.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, folks.
It was really.
Yeah.
It just was so much better than what I expected.
It was.
Compared to whatever that other thing was that you watched.
That other one had entertainment. It wasn't intentional entertainment, but it was entertaining.
It was. Sometimes when you watch documentaries, they can be dry or they can just be, you know, whatever. But this was engaging. It was moving.
I love a dry documentary, though, if it's interesting. You know, it doesn't have to be exciting.
The other thing, do you remember when they had the seasonal...
I was pretty drunk when I watched it, but go ahead.
Not surprised.
Pretty drunk. Go ahead.
Where Derek Trowbridge was working using his compost material.
Yes, I remember.
And you saw the recovery of the vineyard of that other person he was working with. Mm. You saw the recovery of his vines, where they were at. And where I think it was just one season with his product, how much better they had recovered.
Yeah. And he did something, I know it's been a minute since I watched, but he did some kind of like bugs or something that he knew would eat the bugs that messed up the vines.
Yes.
And I can't remember what it was, but he like used nature for a pesticide, basically.
Now, he's not the only place that does it. Benzinger does the exact same thing, too.
Yeah, well, it's a sustainable method, but it's the way they used to make wine.
Yeah.
Sure.
It didn't use chemicals. Very interesting,
And by the way, this is probably a little bit better than the last Benzinger we had. Remember that? It was terrible.
I'm really enjoying this product. It's unusual. Yeah. It's probably not for everybody.
No, it's not.
And I'm a sucker for that texture thing. I like to call it shifting gears. This doesn't shift gear. This Chardonnay comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's fan. I love it. I love the way this Chardonnay pops in and out of this wine.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but then be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the review section of tonight's wine. I don't know that we should give...
We're not going to.
No, the Merlot is not something we're going
to
review.
It's not fair to the proprietor. It is spent.
That is very...
I will give them a finger wag for still selling it, but that's okay. On to the Impulse, though. That's the first one we've ever had in the Wine Vault that we did not give a score to because it's old. That's okay.
Well, and it's probably how it should be.
Yes.
Well, how could you properly score a wine that you know is spent?
Niner. Give it a niner. The Impulse. We're going to go over to Scott.
I dated a girl named Niner.
Well, that's interesting.
No, that was actually her name, Kathy Niner.
Oh, well, that's the last name. Scott, what's your numerical score for the Impulse?
I really like this. I think it's interesting, and I'm
gonna scoring it as such.
Probably. I don't care. I want to score it higher than this. I love how this wine's made. I think it has texture. I think it has life. I think it's vibrant. More to the point, the way that Chardonnay pops in and out, I think it exudes the quality the way this wine was made. Is it for everybody? No. It's unique. I'm giving it points for that. I like it as an 88. I want to score it higher. I want to score it higher, but I just don't think it has the quality to be higher than that. I don't think it's ageable. Rob said that earlier. Right. This is a drink now, but it's interesting. I love the mouthfeel. I love the way it starts off as this lighter thing with these different little tastes of fruit. And then that mid palate, it just has a nice bit of texture. Chardonnay pops. And then it really has a decent finish. Mm-hmm. I don't think we talked enough about the finish. It has a decent dry finish.
What is the price on this?
$35.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's just because that's what they have to charge.
Deal with that. I'll tell you this. When I drink this wine, I don't think it's a cheap-ass wine at all. Would I say $35 price point? I don't know. But I'm a fan.
On to the triple B.
Why did I go second?
Because I knew Scott would give it a score like that. So I just want to hear what you'd say. Why do you need to go first all the time?
I've gone first on 5,000 other reviews. I know. Except for there's maybe the second time ever.
I'm just throwing. Just doing something different. Mixing it up. It's like putting Chardonnay in with red wine.
That's what I'm doing. Fact there.
What's your score?
Well, number one, I would like to try this cold, chilled.
We have another bottle.
I think we should drink it chilled.
All right.
Or, I mean, we could give it to Scott and he could drink it chilled.
Yeah.
I think it would be very different chilled. Like, more the way it was intended chilled.
I something like mm-hmm. that, yeah. Lemon slice in it. Or orange slice. It could actually be a decent base for a sangria. I'm not trying to insult. It's not a base.
It's in a good way. You normally mean it as an insult, but I think this time you mean it as a true statement.
I mean it. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. I just really think that's what you should do with it.
Becky mansplains for Rob. I love it.
You just can't handle the truth. Go ahead, Becky. He interrupted you.
I have a hard time scoring this because it is so much different than anything we've drank.
Mm.
There is no comparison for
there
this.
There isn't. So, like, when you're going through, like, a mental catalog of other things you've drank, it's difficult. If you're judging it as a red wine, I would give it a poor score because it just isn't a red wine. The Chardonnay is too prevalent in it.
It says red wine on the label. Just
can you let me finish my review? If you're judging it as a chilled red wine or, I mean, honestly, it tastes like a rosé, like similar to a rosé. If you're judging it there, you can give it a different score, which is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it an...
Sorry, I dropped my pen. Go ahead.
An indignation.
What's that? What's the number for an indignation?
No, that's how you dropped your pen.
No, I just tripped. Go ahead. I was looking at my watch. Go ahead. What's your score? God.
That makes me want to pump up my
you
score.
Can't
to make
even
you can't
even follow the actual your standards. I'm just putting that out.
What standards?
The Olympic scale. It starts off with an 85. It says it's a red wine. You said you don't think it's a red wine.
I am scoring this as a chilled red wine.
It's not chilled.
It's basically your fault you didn't chill it.
No,
don't
it's
you
not.
Feel that way, Scott?
No, it's their fault. Fault. It needs chilled. Go ahead. What cat at? Bobo, you gonna put up with that?
I think the cat is
needs sweet
having
low.
Issues with both of you. It if feels I, that this is not a chilled.
If I put brandy in it, go ahead.
So I'm judging this as a chilled red wine.
Okay.
Basically a rosé, and I'm giving it an 86.
Oh, Jesus.
It's
too high.
Oh my lord! What's wrong with
you? Oh, Canada.
I would very much like to try it chilled. I think it would be a good sangria base, and I mean that in a nice way. I think the price point is different because, like they said, they're not a conglomerate. They were talking about the silver things that they had to bring in. You know what I'm talking about? And they had to like rent them or borrow.
Fermentation tanks.
And oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, okay. These, whatever the cost was on it was astronomical. And
it's expensive.
Yeah, I mean, all of that stuff is crazy expensive. So I understand that this is going to cost more than, it's like the same thing. An organic banana costs more than a regular
I'm
banana.
Not going to beat them up on the price.
Right. It just, to me, it does feel a little bit high. But yeah, I'm giving this an 86 and I feel very good about it. I was actually 86, 87.
See? Now he's going to give it the same score.
And now I'm going to judge it basically on a red wine. Not chilled, not with a lemon slice in it, not in a punch bowl.
Wah, wah, wah.
I'm providing it 83 of my points.
Oh my God.
That's awful. You're so wrong. You're just so wrong.
I'm sorry.
You're just so wrong.
That's what it is.
Nope. False. That's incorrect.
You're
incorrect.
Yeah, I agree.
You just can't handle that it's got this Papa Chardonnay in there.
You said it was full bodied for fuck's sakes. You don't know.
It's that texture.
Texture my ass.
That texture in the middle.
It's an oddity. You might get something out of it. You might like it. You're not going to spend $35 for it, but that's what it costs, and it's not their fault. They can't charge $12.99 because they would lose their shirt. They can't charge $12.99. They can't do it. I know that.
You're not explaining your score really very well.
The wine is insipid. No. It has no front palate. True, Scott. It doesn't have a front palate.
Oh, Lord.
It has acidity where the front palate goes. It doesn't have any berry. It's just a little bit of sour cherry in the middle palate. There's nothing really there. It doesn't have any tannin. It's
wonderful.
It has an interest. You do see a little bit of the varietal play with the Chardonnay, but nothing else. It doesn't show any elements of Petite Syrah. A little bit of Merlot, but you're extrapolating that from the acidity. If you're going to, I am going hardcore, I'm judging it just like I would everything else. And if this wasn't some sort of niche thing that we saw a movie on, you would give this an 81. You all would. You're giving it charity points. You guys are just being nice to this wine. And it's okay to say, this is a dud.
I like it.
I'm sure that you're pretending you like it.
Nope.
There might be a time and place for this. If you have to chill it, if you have to put fucking sweet and low in it, whatever.
I differ from you two. No. I would not chill this. I think it stands alone. It's interesting.
You can drink it. I mean, I'm not going to say it's nowhere near a 70. It's just not. It doesn't have, first of all, any varietal character because it doesn't have a varietal associated with it.
There's no way you could ever pick anything out of it.
Other than, what is that? Is that Chardonnay? But you wouldn't know that unless you knew it was on the label and it didn't say
I get
that.
I get that.
You're very emotional.
I'm trying to level set. And so, I gave you your piece to say your dumb shit. Now I'm saying that. So, if you just came into this, most people would go, what the fuck is that?
I know. I get it.
They wouldn't say that in a nice way.
I get it.
That's because you're the outlier. It's good that you like it.
It's fine.
It found somebody that it likes.
I'm allowed great. To, but you're also an outlier. 83 is
really low. Why don't you slam something down? No, really Scott. Really low. You know what's too low? A 78.
Rob.
An 83 is fair.
Rob.
It's fair.
Be mean.
If the Spectator reviewed it, it'd be an 83. If James Suckling reviewed it, it would be a 97. If Parker got a hold of this, they would give it terrible scores. They would.
That's fine.
It doesn't score well. And that's where I'm at, too. I agree with them.
I think it's... You can't agree with them. You can't put words
it's
in their mouth.
It's the Olympic scale. And this does not do well on that scale.
There's no fucking...
You can't give it charity points.
James Suckling
and you're
does.
Doing that.
James Suckling does. No, I find it interesting. Nah. That's why I'm scoring it that
nah,
high.
Nah, whatever. You're giving it charity points. That's okay.
False. Whatever. False. I think the Chardonnay pop is interesting. Whether I would recognize it as Chardonnay if it wasn't on the label or not, it pops. It's interesting. It's different. It's unique. I appreciate how they made it, and I think that's why it pops like
if
that.
If I blind tasted this, I would think it was a...
You think it's weird?
I would think it's a Midwest-produced wine. And I'm not trying to be mean. I have had dry versions of red wines in Ohio that are native-grown that taste down this line. This is a little bit better than those, because those are terrible. But this tastes like Chambord. It does. Not Chambord. What the hell am I trying to say? Chambertin. Tastes like Chambertin is what it tastes like. That's what it does. And those are locally produced grapes by better wineries around here. You're not having the dumbasses trying to do that. But that's what it tastes like. I have an old RSV, Rockside Vineyard. They had a Chambertin. It wasn't bad. It was dry. It was similar to this. It wasn't as good as this. They would pray that they did something as good as this. But this tastes like the wine that you go down to the Virginian winery that has no real... And you taste it. Oh, okay. It's what you'd buy. Because nothing else, everything else is a bunch of berry shit. This tastes dry and it's fine. That's what this is. I think that, quite frankly, he should be pretty proud of what he did here. Because it is offbeat and it's what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
He set out to do this. He likes this.
He's crying right now because you gave him an 83.
Well, that's what it is, though.
Well,
it's an 83 compared to the wineries that he hates. And that's fine. He would say.
How do you know he hates them? Why are you going to put words into his mouth? Like that.
But, you know, if I'm saying Whitehall Lane, you know, this Whitehall Lane is of 90, but this is not. That's okay. It doesn't have to be, but it's not that good. It's just not good in a traditional sense.
In a traditional sense,
and that's all that matters.
Now, I think we're allowed to give scores. And appreciate things for being unique. Because tradition, one...
Scott, that doesn't play into the numerical score. That's an aside.
Why not?
Because...
Why doesn't it?
Because it doesn't. It doesn't anywhere. It doesn't in any wine magazine, any wine periodical. That is not an element of a score. It is something that you can put as dicta. You can say, you know, though, I really appreciate what they're trying to do here, and I think that they have something interesting. It just doesn't really, you know, coalesce in the glass like I'd like it to.
Okay.
And there's your 83. But that's an 83.
But that's different than saying that wine reviewers don't give points for something doing something that's interesting.
But it has to be also... good.
Now you're changing your tune.
This isn't really good.
I think it is.
It's not. And you know
I
it
like it.
No.
And what I really like about it is the way they did the Chardonnay and it pops through. And I think that's a credit to the winemaking. Is it for everybody?
No, I think that's a detraction from the winemaking.
Well,
because it should be a twinkle. You shouldn't taste Chardonnay.
I don't know. But that's what I... This person, that's what I liked about it. I love that pop of Chardonnay.
I just wish a
and I'm not a and I'm not a Chardonnay drinker.
No,
but in this wine,
bad Chardonnay.
In this wine,
I don't want their Chardonnay because what popped through there needs Petit Sirah Merlot to be drinkable.
Well,
because it's going to taste of petrol and be really bad.
I'm not sure I want an organically produced Chardonnay.
If you remember the movie,
this, I liked
he does a golden Chardonnay.
Yes.
I don't know what that was.
Right.
Because what is that?
It was orange.
Oh,
it was orange. No.
Yeah, but it wasn't an orange wine, which I've never really determined what that is. But and I don't want to know.
But we thought
it was
it
golden.
Might be. Yes, but it was the golden Chardonnay, but it was orange.
It wasn't gold. Well, orange. It was gold. It was deep. It looked like a very high protein urine. It did. Yeah. I don't know if it tastes good or not, but there's the Chardonnay here. I mean, you can the elements that you're tasting there. You're not tasting peach, man. And then they're not doing malolactic fermentation, but they're not doing that anyway.
Correct.
And so, let's just leave it at that. Let's just leave the pause, just to say what.
Go figure. There's a difference of opinion. No, normally we're aligned.
Opinions are like assholes. And everybody's got one.
Well, you know,
it's just not
some
that
people
good.
Have better
Look,
appreciation
folks,
for the finer things in life.
This isn't the finer one of the finer things in life. It just isn't.
It's one of the finer things
they sell,
in your life.
They sell an old dusty Merlot that should have been put in the trash.
You see, now you're going to be
7
harsh.
Years ago.
Now you're going to be harsh.
But it's true.
Not in the trash.
He sells this, Scott. He sells this to the public because he never sold it before. Well, guess what? Nobody wanted to buy it. So get rid of it. Quit selling it. You know? Do you think look. As you can start to see, folks, my true opinions are starting to bleed through. So with that, folks, we're going to bid you adieu. For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, the Triple B, we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.